you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Just joking, okay, though.
It's okay.
Take it serious, dude. It's getting serious on me.
It's only three beads of sweat I see right now.
It's coming flowing.
That's why he's been at the gym pumping super hard.
Super hard.
I was at the gym today filming her do 10 pull-ups. That's what I did at the gym.
I saw that. Yeah, you're pretty awesome. I don't think I could do two.
Well, it's actually because when I first met, I'm sure you can, though.
No, huh? Yeah, no, I got too big of a belly. My belly gets in the way and all that weight, and my joints start hurting, and I'm like, oh, no, this is a chore. I just maybe two, maybe.
Two still a lot, though. Last year I couldn't even do one.
Okay, maybe two right now, but how many could Thunder Javier Mendez do?
Oh, he could do
30.
No, 15, maybe 20. Habib's a cousin. He did 30-something. Cousin did 30-something in Dubai.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I was just like reading up on Anthony Robles, the wrestler with one leg.
Yeah,
his pull-ups are unbelievable.
Well, because he's got less weight, too, if you think about it. In his suit, he had to compensate for that, you know, the loss of the leg, so they're a lot stronger. There's that one guy that doesn't have a lower body,
mm-hmm.
and you see that guy? I don't know who he is, but he's everywhere. He's very athletic, super athletic. And that guy, when you have that less weight, you have, and then they build so much, you know.
Yeah, but it's got to be the heart and the determination, the mindset.
Absolutely.
Because absolutely, to overcome those struggles of every day and to set Guinness World Records.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. How many did he do?
Well, the record was like 7,000 and change.
7,000?
Yeah. Yeah.
And how many days?
24
That's
hours.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's 7, like a pace 000. Of like around, you have to average around 10 a minute. Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah. Wow. It's crazy. Incredible feats. But also incredible was this past weekend, UFC Austin. The best fight night we've been to this year.
Yes.
So many knockouts, so many bonuses. You're sporting that Daniel Cormier wrestling shirt. We were talking about it coming into it. Phil Hawes, someone who had an impressive performance, had a little spat with DC post-fight in the octagon, but it seems like he ended up apologizing to DC. It was a little bit of a miscommunication.
You know, unfortunately for me, I missed the whole show. One of my good friends, Tomas Diangi, I was throwing an amateur MMA event, and I had to go there. I couldn't watch, so I had to go there, so... I missed all the fights. And actually, I did miss all the fights. I watched, the semi-main event. And I watched a little bit the main event. I watched, what's his name?
Kevin Holland, Tim Means, and Calvin Kattar. And
this is the first time I've seen Kevin Holland fight. Wow, he's fun. He's fun to watch. I enjoyed his fight. He's fun. He's really fun to watch. He throws good crisp techniques. He's fast, you know, and he's game. I mean, you know what? I've never seen him fight. Never.
But you've seen him practice, though.
Yeah. No, I haven't.
Because didn't he go to AKA?
No, just one day.
Oh, yeah.
Just one day.
And he didn't really train with the team. He trained with DC's high school wrestlers. And I never met him. I met him for the first time at the Apex. No, not the Apex, at the training center. And he comes up to me, goes, hey, coach, I just want to say, hey, you know, I'm sorry. And he didn't say he's sorry, but he goes, I want to say, hey, I didn't mean what I said, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I didn't really know what he said. But some people were saying stuff in regards to him and I having some kind of little beef or something, which we never did. We never had a beef at all. Him and I never did. He just made a comment about how he got smashed in wrestling, and I did a podcast where I said, well, according to him, he got, you know, he didn't do too well in wrestling with DC's guys. So, but somebody told him that I'm talking negative about him, so he must have said something, and he wanted to clarify. But he is a nice guy. He's a real nice guy.
Super nice.
Yeah, super nice. I heard that we should nickname some kind of comic hero Robin Hood or something, because he's saving people all the time.
Batman?
He's the Batman, huh?
He just stopped like a jewelry thief the night before his fight, too, Friday night, this past Friday. I don't know if he finds trouble or trouble finds him, but he's there to save the day each and every time.
Well, you got to admire and appreciate him, because he's the real deal. You know, here's a guy. There was another guy that used to be from Seattle that dressed up with the comic book, you know, and it was a superhero doing things like that. But they never caught him saving anything other than, you know, whatever stuff. But this guy's actually, he's actually doing it. You know the guy I'm talking about? He's
former fighter?
I think he's brother Benson Henderson, maybe, I want to say. Someone like that. He dresses up in a superhero, and he goes out in Seattle, and he's looking to, you know, help people.
Like a real life vigilante.
Like a real life vigilante. But I think it's Benson's half brother or something like that.
Look into it.
Yeah, I could be wrong about Benson, but I'm not wrong about him.
Yeah.
You know, he's an MMA fighter, and he was out there looking to right the wrong and help people for the good cause. He was doing it for a good cause. But here, Kevin Holland kind of is doing the good cause without the costume. So we just need, you know, if he's listening, hey, Batman, have people, you know, make him a pretty cool outfit. What do you think?
What an amazing story Kevin Holland is, too. Like, not getting his chance, and then Dana White calling him up for a last-minute fight. He ended up fighting Thiago Santos, and 185 was his home. He used to fight at 170 before the UFC for a good amount of time.
Yeah.
Then he fought everybody at 185, the who's who. They all realized that wrestling was his weakness, and then he's made some crazy changes, as really practices wrestling. Now he's fighting at 170. 2-0 at 170 in the UFC, and now look at him.
Well, he's fun to watch. Yeah, the Darcy choke was pretty good, and Tim Means is no joke. I mean, you know, but was that Tim Means fight to enhance his popularity? Maybe, maybe not, right? I don't know. But it kind of would think on paper that it was made for Kevin to showcase his skills all the way around. And, man, he did. He did. I was impressed. I'm definitely a fan.
And now he's calling, I think Sean Brady was calling him out, or he was calling out Sean Brady, which would be a huge fight, top 15 in the welterweight division, or Sean Brady might be around number 10. And he's got that wrestling base, that grappling base, so.
Yeah, it would be good. Problem is, with me, there's so many fights, I don't know who Sean Brady is. Yeah.
He's good up-and-coming
guy.
Welterweight.
But,
well, then I'm pulling for Kevin because I know Kevin. So that's who I want to win, Kevin. Kevin all the way.
He's great.
But did you say you also got a chance to catch the main event?
Yeah, Calvin I watched Peter, a little Josh bit. Emmett? I watched a little bit of it. I thought it was a really close fight. I didn't know who won, but it was a very close fight. So however they judged it, you know, based on looks, the person that won got the worst damage from looks. But I didn't watch the whole thing. From round one to round five, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
I don't really know. And I was watching some of it with John Fitch, and he had it on his little iPhone. I was kind of back and forth. So from what I saw, it looked like, that maybe it could have gone the other way, but I didn't watch the whole five rounds. So really, my opinion doesn't count there. Really doesn't. So if I said, oh, no, it was a ripoff, then I'm the guy that's talking crap because I didn't watch the whole fight.
Could have seen it going either way.
You could have.
Yeah. 48-47, for sure. It wasn't like a Valentina Shevchenko, Talia Santos, where one of the judges gave it 49-46.
That was great.
Which was absurd.
Absurd, yeah.
But I did in real time score it for Emmett, but I looked back at the statistics and everything because we were there cage side. I think Cater landed more of the significant strikes. I think it was like 130 to 107. And you're right, Emmett did wear more damage. But I just think it came down to the fifth round, and I think Emmett landed shots that were of more significance. He definitely pushed the pace of the fight, and, you know, I wasn't mad either way.
No, but also you got to meet when they put the stats on the strikes, okay? Well, it's real simple, right? You got five rounds, and in the first round you have, oh, now I can hear myself clear. Thanks. Yeah. A little. Yeah. Okay. Cool. But anyways, the first round you throw 10 strikes, right? But all 10 strikes land super hard. Okay. And then all of a sudden the guy's wobbled and da 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 da. He lands 30 strikes. Okay. Then you're thinking, okay, well, the guy landed 30 strikes one, but he didn't do any damage with those 30 strikes, right? So how good is this amount of strikes versus this? If you're talking the whole five rounds, it's like baloney. I hate that because it's a comparison that should be thrown out the window because what does it mean?
Exactly, and they always throw it on the screen. It doesn't mean anything to the judges in real time. No. They don't score for the whole fight. They score each round individually.
Yeah, I don't know why they do that. It's stupid. It doesn't make any sense. I think it's stupid. You think it's stupid?
Yeah,
because it doesn't mean anything.
Well, yeah, it doesn't.
Are you a fan of open scoring?
It could be fun. Open scoring could be fun because there's no ifs and buts about that. You tell the guy you're losing, you better go out. Versus some of the coaches we've seen out there, their fighter's not doing so well. They tell their fighter they're doing fantastic, keep doing what you're doing, and they're losing. And we on the outside are going, wait a minute, they're losing. You should be telling them they better win this next round big or they're going to – But they don't, right? They say, keep doing what you're doing, keep doing what you're doing. You're doing great, la, 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 la. And then the announcement is, announced, and we know, you and I know, and you know, that the other person won, and they lose, and the coaches are looking confused, like, what? What just happened? My coaches told me I won. No. So that open scoring thing is kind of cool because it takes the coaches out of that when they talk to the fighter, you know, and it gets the crowd more involved. There's good and bad to it. I think there's good and bad to it. Am I opposed to it? Absolutely not. I mean, I'm not opposed to it.
Well, David, when you brought up the Valentina fight, did you get a chance to watch it?
Yes, I did. I watched that fight.
Yeah. Who do you think won that one?
It was definitely two apiece. I thought the third round was the deciding factor round, in my opinion. And, the champ is the champ, and you got to really beat the champ, I think. You can't just edge it out, like in boxing, right? You really got to beat the champ. I don't think that third round was super, super dominant. So based on that kind of theory, I think maybe they got it right, But if they would have got the other girl winning, I'd be cool with that too because, if I was just not knowing who she was, I might have went the other route.
I think we said it on the last podcast too. It was reminiscent to me of the Dominic Reyes John Jones fight at UFC 247 in Houston, where you felt like Dominic Reyes had a strong case to win the fight. But the reason why the judges, I felt like, gave it to John Jones, it was those championship rounds when he went to the wrestling. And I feel like that's what Valentina was doing with those takedowns and just, And you're right. You're the champion. The challenger has to take the belt from you. So it was just the 49-46 that drove me crazy.
Throw that out the door. That was that one didn't need to be there, but
yeah.
The other one did. So I thought, look, if Valentina would have lost, I would have said, well, maybe in my eyes, maybe she didn't. But it was that close. It was that close. And then a rematch is gonna be something special.
And that headbutt too. It changed the whole fight.
Yeah. Definitely changed the whole fight, for sure.
I think she's deserving of a rematch, for sure, if anybody.
It was a fun fight.
Yeah.
Fun fight. When's the last time we've seen Valentina work that hard?
I can't think of it. Amanda Nunes, yeah.
It's been a while.
Amanda Nunes. And remember, when she fought Nunes, she got Nunes tired. Yeah. So she came on strong in the later rounds. So, Valentina is one of the best ever.
Yeah.
And this girl, she's got to watch out for her. She gets mentally stronger, And I say mentally because in her technique, it was not bad. Technique. Her jiu-jitsu is really, really good. Her wrestling is really good. I mean, her stand-up could be a little bit better, right? But overall, man, Santos is something else.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch her in the rematch, whatever she does next.
Yeah.
Force in that division. I got a lot of heat for it when I did the show with Henry, but after that fight too, I made a Mount Rushmore of the best female. Not, I don't know. I never said the best female fighters, but when I think of Mount Rushmore, I think of the most impactful female fighters of all time. And this is my four. This is how I listed it, and then I could defend it. You can argue it. It'd be nice to hear. Helen too, please chime in. But I did Ronda Rousey, Amanda Nunes, Valentina Shevchenko, and Joanna Jędrzejczyk. So you asked me who was left off here.
Rose.
Rose was left off. Holly Holm was left off. Chris Cyborg was left off.
Well, you do have a dilemma there. You do have a dilemma there because, you know, you got Rose, you got Holly, and you got Cyborg.
Cyborg.
How can you leave Cyborg out?
Well, I'll explain.
Okay, explain that one. I'll explain.
The amount of title defenses in the UFC. How many does she have compared to the other four I just mentioned? She's also been busted before for performance-enhancing drugs, and the other girls haven't.
Okay.
And then in terms of impact, in terms of influence and changing divisions and bringing in more eyeballs, Cyborg would have been my number five if I had five, but again, it's four. I didn't see it putting her ahead of a Joanna, a Nunes, a Ronda Rousey, or Valentina. I put her at five.
Okay, but didn't Rose beat Joanna twice?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, but Carla beat Rose twice.
Okay.
And Joanna beat Carla. We can't play that game.
But did she really beat Rose, or did Rose beat herself? Did she really? Really? Can you really look at me and go, yeah, coach, she whooped Rose. Really? She got whooped?
We're talking about Carla?
Yeah, Carla.
Against Rose?
Yeah.
Yeah, the second fight, I would argue for sure that Rose beat herself.
So if she beat herself, what has Rose been doing?
But Rose doesn't have as many title defenses in the strawweight division as Joanna.
Yeah, she doesn't. She doesn't. I bet. But look at her impressive victories, though.
Very impressive
come
victories.
Come on. You can't. There's an argument there. That's all I'm saying. You told me to come in on it, so I'm just throwing a stick at you.
I'm not mad about it. I'm not mad about it.
You can't be mad.
Not at all.
You can't be mad. He started it, right?
No.
Yeah, he started.
You started.
That's why I said, and Holly Holm, too, you can make an argument for.
If you get any bad criticism on this, Helen and I are going to get the good comments.
Of course.
No,
all right, so who's your four? And then we have to hear Helen's four.
My four?
Yeah.
Don't put me on there. Okay, I don't know. I'll say this. There's eight.
Yeah, who's your eight?
Who's my eight? Well, obviously, you know, Amanda Nunes is there, you know. Rose to me is there.
Okay.
You know, Valachenko for darn sure is there.
100%.
You know, Ronda Rousey is definitely there. You know, Holly Holmes to me is there also. Also, what am I at? Five, six?
Yeah.
Five.
I'm at five. Joanna.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's six. And then what I got? Cyborg.
Mm-hmm.
Seven. And Whaley.
Over Gina Carano?
Yeah.
No, everyone gave me the shit for leaving her off. That's why I said that name.
Yeah.
I think.
Not a bad eight.
I'm not going to get in trouble either. No. I can't get bad heat on that.
Uh-oh,
no.
I didn't say what particular order either.
No.
I just picked all eight.
Hey, all the Gina Carano fans are going to be commenting now.
Oh, that's okay because, you know, Gina was a sweetheart, but she wasn't, you know, there's a new era. And back then, how can you put Gina in there when Cyborg did what she did?
Right.
True.
Because you can't.
But like Ronda would say Gina influenced her. And if Ronda ever came back to fight in MMA again, she would want to fight a Gina Carano just for legendary status for both of them.
For Ronda, that would be a good fight, you know.
Yeah.
But and people would be into it. People would be into it, definitely, for sure, you know. Because remember, Ronda was a mega superstar in the MMA. And now she's a superstar in wrestling. So yeah, you know, eyeballs will tune in to a match like that, yeah. But, I mean, obviously, you know, it's going to favor Ronda big time.
Yeah.
But when you say Whaley, what did you make of Whaley's win? Like, do you see her as future champ or beating Carla?
I definitely see her as future champ. She's improved so much from the last fight. And I'm wondering if the fact that Henry put some mental things on her to make her mentally stronger. Because she is a specimen, an athlete. Boy, she's a great athlete, a great athlete. And the way she fought was so smart. And I'm thinking, definite change, right? But what has she done different than the other previous fights? Well, I think Henry's becoming a master strategist. And I think that that became a great avenue to explain how he is with strategies and his mentality and approaching the fight game. Like I watched Henry demonstrate on a move to somebody. It was on his Instagram. I'm not sure, but he says something that really hit me really well. I said, oh, he knows the game. He was telling somebody to move like a Tyson, but not as much as Tyson. And so he understands the importance of Tyson-type movement, but he understands that every individual is different. So he understands that you can't make him a Tyson. You can make a Tyson, like, tiny Tyson bit. And that's what he did to this person. And I said, wow, I was very impressed. I don't think not too many people picked that up, but Henry's becoming a hell of a strategist.
Yeah, we watched that fight with him, and he told us what to anticipate from Wei Li. Yeah. Wei Li had messaged him before the fight too. They've been in communication. Her distance, if you look at Wei Li, how she fights and her distance game, that's one thing he definitely improved with her on. And then her ability to get takedowns, to score points, and to really understand range, everything. That's what I know Henry's really helped her with. The interesting thing, though, is will she come back to the United States and train? If she does, she'll go to Arizona to fight ready. But her last fight was in Singapore. There's issues with visas. She wants her next fight to be in Fight Island in Abu Dhabi in October, so I don't know if she would train in the United States again.
Well, I'm not saying she needs to train in the United States. Yeah. I'm saying what she got from him,
yeah,
she can grow on that and evolve into a much, much better fighter. I'll give you another person that I watched that I was so impressed with, Pico, Aaron Pico.
Oh, yes.
His last fight. I looked at and I used that him as a reference to my fighters. I said, you want to fight MMA perfect? How are you supposed to fight and not give your opponent a chance to be exciting? Look at Aaron Pico's last fight. Picture perfect. Everything that kid did, he could have finished him with his hands, he could finish in this, but he kept taking the person out of his element to give him no opportunity for a potential lucky shot. We call it lucky shot, but they're really not, right? Because if you intend to throw, you land. But the way he did it was masterful, and I'm a big fan of Aaron Pico and what he's getting and what they're giving him over there at Greg Jackson's. I think it's fantastic.
It's changed his career. Yeah. Got to give them a shout-out,
too.
He hasn't lost since he joined that gym.
Yeah.
It's changed his career.
In all fairness, Ali, the manager, is incredible. He's the best manager in the business. We all know. Whether you love him or you hate him, you got to give him his dues. He's the best manager in the business.
I mean, the athletes speak for themselves. We totally understand.
Yeah. Well, how do you get athletes fighting each other?
Right.
They're from different camps. True. Or same camp fighting each other, and they still keep the manager. How's that happen? When do you ever see that happen?
It doesn't.
Why? Because a manager will screw up one way or another, shows favoritism here and there, and he has been so great at not showing that. I mean, we all know he loves Habib. We all know he's all over Habib. We know that. Him and Habib are like brothers. But he fights Justin Gaethje, and you think Justin Gaethje is going to get rid of him? Hell no.
Well, the current interesting situation right now, one of your guys, Islam, and Beneil Dariush, both guys are represented by Ali.
Yeah.
That's a tough situation, too, because both those guys, you can argue, are both deserving to fight for the title, but only one of them will get that opportunity more than likely.
Well, who knows? I mean, for all I know, they're going to fight each other again. We never know, right? We never really know what's going to go on until really the UFC announces it. I remember one time when I met you guys, I got in hot water because I read on MMA Fighting that somebody was fighting somebody, someone asked me, the reporter asked me, so-and-so is fighting so-and-so, and I go, oh, yeah, la, la, la. And all of a sudden, like, the match isn't done. I go, I would read it on MMA Fighting, and the reporter told me. It's like, no, it's not done. So it's from now, it's kind of like, you know, whether it's the right way to do it. Let the promotion promote their job. Let them do their job. Let them do their job and promote their fights, you know, and then go from there. Trying to get in the early lead on things like that, it's like, I don't know. I don't know if that's the right way a promotion should be. You know, and a reporter should do that. Like, get it, announce it before the promotion does. Realistically, if you think about it, who's got the bigger social media? The promotion.
Promotion.
Yeah. Promotion. So let them announce it, then you guys announce after.
It's been a couple months since you've been on the podcast. So in May, when they had, you know, the Charles Oliveira, Justin Gaethje fight, I wanted to kind of get your input on just his whole situation.
Like Charles?
Or? Yeah, Charles.
The weight, the scale situation, the vacancy in the title.
Well, from what I was told, and I'm not sure if I'm 100% correct, but I was told that he had weighed perfect the day before, the night of, or the day of, on the UFC scale that's monitored by them, that's in their special room. You know, there's only, and you know, but it's, but I think because a lot of people come in and they change it from kilos to you know, libras, right? I think that something happened with the scale and it got basically lost its accuracy. And all of a sudden, so you weigh yourself on one scale and it says you're perfect, and then you come weigh on the official scale that's not run by the UFC, that's run by the State Athletic Commission, right? And it deems you're over. Whose fault is that?
Yeah, we talked to John Attic that day because we were there at the weigh-ins. The official scale was recalibrated at 6 a.m. that morning for weigh-ins. So what he did that night was different than what he came to in the morning. So as a fighter, your psychology of cutting all that weight and thinking you're on point, and then literally the hour or two leading up to it, you're like, no, you're a few pounds over. That's got to screw with you mentally in so many levels.
Big time. But you know what? He used that to his advantage. He used that to his advantage. He goes out there. He lost his title, but he's going, no, I'm still the champ, and I'm going to go prove it. He mentally became stronger because of that, in my opinion, because, he was so impressive. So impressive.
You have to admit, though, too, because of your relationship with Khabib, no one saw this coming for Charles Oliveira, not necessarily not winning the title, but doing what he's doing against all the title contenders and how he's finishing all these top guys and – remaining the champion, I guess not technically the champion based on the scales, but
no, let's call him the champion. Let's call him the champion.
You have to be impressed. You didn't see this coming, did you?
Actually, I did. I saw that potentially he could do it again because he's been doing it. Think about it. He's done the Dustin.
So you're talking from the time that Khabib retired after he beat Gaethje in the position where there's a vacancy here. Did you see Charles Oliveira? Like, if we go back about a couple of years ago now, did you see Charles Oliveira being in the position that he's in today and still and finishing the contenders that he's been up against?
I didn't know because I didn't give much thought. I focus on my guys, to be honest with you. But, I'm impressed with Charles. I think he's very impressive. And the fact that he comes up from the ground, be knocked down, come back, that's impressive.
Yeah.
And the way he finishes these guys, and it doesn't matter whether it's on the ground or in the stand-up. No, he's impressive, man. I'm very impressed with Charles. Anybody going to fight him, they better be prepared.
So now a lot of fans are kind of talking about Charles versus Islam. If that fight were to happen next or for that vacant lightweight title, I mean, what do you think about that matchup stylistically?
Well, if we ever got that opportunity, it would be great for us, but who knows? You know, I mean, we may get Benil, we may get somebody else, I don't know. Yeah. But let's just say you're talking about if we get that
like
stylistically. Hypothetically, I love that fight for Islam because if you're the champ, you got to beat everybody. So, you know, hypothetically, if that fight ever materializes down the road, one or two fights from now, because you never know, right? You never know when it's going to happen. What happened before with Khabib? Oh, you're going to fight for the title. He didn't fight for the title. It was a bait and switch move on him to get Conor to do whatever. And all of a sudden, so Khabib fought for the title two fights later. So who knows when that's going to happen. But for me, he's ready for anybody, so whoever's coming his way is going to get beat by him. He is, to me, the total package. Islam Makhachev can do it all, everything. He can do everything.
Is the next time we see him in the octagon 100% going to be in Abu Dhabi? Like, no plans to fight before October?
I don't know when his next fight's going to be. I have zero idea. I could tell you yes, and I would be right, or I could be dead wrong, or it could be November, it could be December, and I don't know. I know he's fighting before the end of the year, and who I don't know because there's no they're not announcing, they're not even, I don't even know what's happening, to be honest with you, other than they're working on fights for him, obviously, you know, because in likelihood because of what he means, like Hamzat, right? Him too. In Abu Dhabi, you would think they want to put Hamzat there because that's what they need. They need the Muslim fighters. So you would think that they would do what they did last year, right? They brought Hamzat and they brought Islam there. And I would think they would want that again. But who's the opponents? Who's Hamzat going to fight? We don't know. Who's Islam going to fight? We don't know. Who's going to be the main event for Abu Dhabi? We don't even know that. You know. But in likelihood of something happening there, you would think it's a strong case for Hamzat and Islam and other and Khabib, other guys to be on that card because of what it means to that region. Makes sense.
For sure. Well, it's just in this sport, you know, it's a business. You know, it's about timing. I think the worst case scenario from Islam's standpoint and from even Beneil Dariush's standpoint is that because of the weight situation and the scale situation there, and Charles beating Justin Gaethje, there is a vacancy in that title. What we've heard since then, your favorite person in the world, I'm being sarcastic, Conor McGregor teasing opponents, you know, entertaining a 170-pound fight with a Michael Chandler. You have Charles Dubronx Oliveira now calling out Conor McGregor for a fight with him as well, saying that would be a great fight, like taking away from it because there's this vacancy. And I know you got this losing streak for Conor McGregor, but it's a business. Can you see a situation where the UFC just inserts him into this title contention scenario because it's Conor McGregor?
Yeah. Yeah. A likelihood, I would like to see him in Chandler. I think Chandler and him would do blockbuster numbers because Chandler's he's a showman.
But what's the point of having that fight at 170 pounds when they both fight at 155?
Because it's just a fan favorite type fight. There's no title implication on that whatsoever. And honestly speaking, both of those guys are not really what we think in our eyes should be the guys fighting for a title. It's just an entertaining fight. But how many people will tune into that? I think you'll have millions tune into that fight.
You think they're tuning in more to that fight than the trilogy fight between McGregor and Nate Diaz?
No, I don't know. Nate Diaz is a good one, too.
Because that's, I think, a good one. The longer we wait for Nate Diaz, nah, I feel like the UFC might just be waiting for that trilogy.
You can't say nothing about Nate. Look what Nate did his last fight in a performance. You know, he didn't get the W, but he got the W.
Almost knocked out Leon Edwards.
He got the W.
And that's all everybody talks about.
Because he got the W in everybody's eyes. They came out clapping, cheering. He's the dog, man. He's the dog in that fight because he came out like that. So I could never say, you know, you put him into the equation. So if I'm going to have to go with that, okay, my choice, Nate. Hands down, Nate.
And the longer we wait for him to get booked for a fight, the more signs, I think, point to that trilogy happening. The longer we wait.
Yeah, but my pick, if you're asking me who I want to see, oh, yeah, Nate. Because I already know, guaranteed, barn burner.
Yeah. Both and even fights and even the lead up to the fight, just, oh my gosh.
Come on.
But speaking of, like, good lead-ups to, you know, fights and whatnot, one that, unfortunately, we never got to see, Tony Ferguson versus Khabib. But Tony's still kind of, like, calling out Khabib and saying that he'll challenge him to anything, even, like, the Ultimate Fighter coaching.
Is there any legs to this Ultimate Fighter?
Well, what do you think of that?
I know what I read. Dana said he'd entertain it. I mean, think about it. If you think about it, think about the impact it could have. Tony and Khabib on opposite ends of the coaching. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the fireworks and Khabib's one-liner tags? Tony's got them too. Tony's got the one-liners too. So can you imagine? It's a real chemistry of dislike and like. It's a dislike and like between those guys. It's not completely dislike. It's a dislike and like. Because I think to some degree, Khabib admires Tony, you know? He dislikes Tony, but he likes Tony. You know what I mean? And I think he respects Tony. So I think that Tony actually does it right. He comes at Khabib with the right type of attacking. He can attack me, Tony, that's okay. He can attack this, but he does it correctly. He doesn't go religion. He doesn't go country. Tony does it in a fun way. So I think it'd be great.
Tiramisu Tuesday.
Yeah, Tony, you know, and Khabib, Dana, if you're listening, I think it's a great one. I think you're right, Dana. You're on cue. It's a great one to do.
I think all three of those guys want it. So Dana, well, you, I'm kind of, all four. You, Dana, I think Khabib wants it. And Tony wants it.
There you go. It's a done deal.
I think everybody would watch that season of The Ultimate Fighter.
I think it would be a good season. Yeah. And maybe they won't fight at the end, but that's okay. They can coach against each other because Khabib to me is going to be the uncrowned legendary best coach of all time. Best coach of all time. He's taking right after his father's footsteps. One heck of a coach. So he's disciplined like his dad too. I'm easygoing, right? Khabib is like cracking the whip on these guys.
Oh my God. I saw the video that you posted.
I feel like you're the good cop now in the gym.
I've always been the good cop.
But like, I feel
more
like,
so now. Yeah.
But you can't tell Khabib to stop though. No one can.
I can.
You
can? I can.
And he listens?
Yeah, he'll listen to me. Okay. If I tell Khabib, hey, I don't want you doing that. He's super, super respectful. But I let him have complete control. It's important. It's important to let him have complete control. What I do to Khabib, what I'm doing for him is he'll do things, he'll make a decision, and I'll go talk to him. I go, Habib, maybe next time we think about doing it this way. And he goes, okay, coach, I think you're right. So I've been coaching him. You know, I'm letting him do his thing. If there's something that I need to address, I address it to him and him only. You know, and trust me, when I say if he's on his track, he is going to be the best coach of all time too.
Well, we'll get to this week momentarily, but I want to jump ahead to 2 weeks from now. How special is it for you that both him and DC, you're sporting that shirt again, are both getting inducted into the Hall of Fame a couple weeks from now, International Congrats. Fight Week. Congratulations.
Yeah, and it's pretty cool. You know, it's pretty cool that they're going to be in there. Really, you know, it's a big honor, big achievement for both of them. They're very, very giggly about it, if you know what I mean. They feel very honored that they're both going to do it together. And, yeah, I think it's fantastic that, you know, that that's such a great mile-high achievement for both of them, you know. It's a big achievement.
Definitely.
It's huge for the gym. It's huge for you. I mean, same time, both of them, and both these guys are at the upper echelon, not just Hall of Famers, but all time in this sport.
Yeah, but there's so many coaches involved with these guys. This is not me. There's many coaches. Bob Cook, you know, Rosendo Sanchez, you know, so many coaches. Leandro Vieira, you know, Ron Kessler. You know, I have a lot of coaches that have contributed to both guys. With Habib, is mostly me and his father. But with DC, it's a lot of different guys. Rudy Sanchez and things like that really, really contributed to DC's. Got a total package of a team, DC.
Put into words the context of the audience, like what this kind of means for you, because as a coach, like, I don't think it gets any better and more rewarding to see your guys, you know, getting a gold jacket, going into Hall of Fame, being recognized as some of the best who have ever done it.
I'm kind of torn, to be honest with you guys, and the reason why I'm kind of torn on this is because to me, a UFC is a UFC Hall of Fame, and it should be an MMA Hall of Fame type thing where all the greats can be inducted into that. And when I see something of the nature where someone like a Frank Shamrock is not in the UFC, and he was my guy way back then, and how can he not be in the UFC when he really was the pioneer that showed total striking, total wrestling. He was the total package. He was the first guy that actually showed the total package. He was the first middleweight champion for them. And why is he in the UFC? Is it coming later? You know, why hasn't it come? So for me, I'm just kind of like, is it subjective? Who makes the calls? I don't know. You know, am I happy for my guys? Heck yeah, I'm very happy for them. But I see someone that's like a Frank Shamrock that I think deserves to be in that spotlight, but he's not. You know, but why? I don't know. I'm not asking people why. I don't know. I'm just saying, shouldn't he be on it? What about Hicks and Gracie? You know. I'm just saying a total. It's the UFC Hall of Fame, but
talking about like a whole MMA. Yeah,
MMA.
It's an interesting thing because, you know, I say this reference all the time. When people think of MMA, like even just a casual fan, they think of the UFC. But like if I say to you, Javier, when I say professional football, people automatically think of the NFL. They don't think the CFL, the AFC, the XFL.
I agree with that. And
that's just to laymen, to casuals, that's how they think of MMA. They think UFC.
But think about this. When you're talking about the UFC or Hall of Fame, right? Think about Hall of Fame. I got inducted into the Hall of Fame, I believe, 2009. There was a Hall of Fame that some panel did, and they put the coaches were in the Hall of Fame, sports guys were in the Hall of Fame, and then fighters, and then they gave them a number. There was like 20 people inducted into this Hall of Fame, and it was by the team of people, and they picked people like Hoyce, I think, was number one. Ken Shamrock was number two in the Hall of Fame, and now this one, and then I was number 11. And I think another one was the Lake Lock guy. He was Eric Paulson. Eric Paulson was one of the Hall of Fame coaches, too. It was pretty cool. And Art Davey was on there, too. He was on there. But I'm just saying, you know, from my perspective, a Hall of Fame should encompass all the people that contributed, you know. You know what I mean?
It's 100%.
Like that's just my opinion, you know, on what would make me happy is to see all these other people be included into something, such a great thing as that.
And, yeah, a Hall of Fame for the sport, not just the organization.
Not the organization. The sport in general, all the people that contributed, all the people that deserve, you know, to be in there. Like, for even Hall of Fame for someone like Shannon Rich. How many fights has Shannon Rich had in MMA? Oh, my gosh. I think the only guy that has more than him is Travis Fulton, or was it Fulton? You know, the guy that had like 400?
Yeah.
400. Yeah, Fulton. I think Travis Fulton or something like that. He had like 400 stuff. But then the bad thing is, you know, he became one of those bad guys that you don't want, pedophile type stuff.
Oh.
Yeah.
A scumbag, so
yeah.
I could care less. But regardless, Shannon Rich, I mean, think about it. People go into seeing a Hall of Fame, they see Shannon Rich, and they see 200-something fights, and you start reading about this guy. He's interesting. Wouldn't you want to read about something like that? I know I would. If I went into a Hall of Fame, MMA Hall of Fame, I'd want to look at these guys and recognize them. You don't think Shannon Rich would want to be in a Hall of Fame or deserves to be in a Hall of Fame for that many fights? Right?
That's,
I mean,
true.
You would think so, right?
You're a league of your own.
He's in a league of his own. You know, but he's not inducted. That's all I'm saying is it would be nice to have a Hall of Fame that encompasses everybody that helped the sport grow, from like the Art Davies to you know, the Dana Whites, to everybody, the Scott Cokers, all of those guys.
For sure. No, that's a fair argument. That's a very fair point.
It's fair.
I didn't know you were so conflicted with these two guys coming into the Hall of Fame.
I'm conflicted because, like I said, Frank Shamrock.
Yeah, makes sense.
I just feel bad for a great fighter like himself that never got that opportunity. Or maybe he is going to get it. Maybe he is.
Yeah.
I think he should.
So this weekend coming up, UFC Fight Night, you're in town. Umar Nurmagomedov, someone that a lot of people aren't calling out in the bantamweight division, which might be the deepest division in terms of the most amount of champions. Like, you look at the bantamweight division, what other division is as deep as the bantamweight division, top to bottom? The amount of former champions that are still competing, the guys that are coming up now, the strikers, the wrestlers. Umar's one of them. He's got a fight this weekend. He's undefeated.
Yeah, and he's going to stay undefeated. I believe he's the heir to that title. He's just like Khabib. He, in the gym, he always wins. He's always winning. The difference between him and Khabib is he's good world-class striking. He's got world-class striking ability and grappling ability. He's got it all. Umar's got it all. Number one most important thing Umar has, he's got mental. I've never had to talk to him about the mental strength. Never. Khabib either. Never. Now, those two guys had the same similar thing. Never had to talk to him. Islam Makhachev, I have never had to talk to him about mental strength either. Those three guys in particular, I've never had to talk to them about mental strength. They had it in spades.
Do you foresee his road to getting that title, like, within the next 2 years, or...?
I would think that this fight's, you know, if everything goes according to what I'm expecting, everybody's going to go, whoa, wait, this guy, you know, let's get him a top 10 guy now because he's deserving, right? And after the top 10 guy, they're probably going to give him one more. So I'm thinking within 3-4 fights, I think he's getting a title and I think he'll be the champ.
There are so many guys, even this past weekend, another one of those great knockouts, Adrian Yanez, now like what, a 9-fight win streak, undefeated in the UFC. That could be a name you throw out there against Umar, too.
Yeah, for me, I don't care. Whoever the UFC wants to match Umar with, and whoever Ali and Khabib agree on, I'm fine. If you told me, hey, we want Umar fighting for the title next, I'm okay, let's go. I want to secure him a little bit better, but do I think he can beat the champion now? Absolutely, I think so. I think that much of him, yes.
Well, what do you make of the situation going on with Aljamain? Because I think, is it they want him and TJ Dillashaw to fight, but is Aljamain trying to get more money?
That's what he's being vocal about.
He's more money, wants more money.
Wants more money.
Well, you know, it can ask for more money, right? I mean, the UFC is going to give you more money if you ask for money or more money and you deserve more money. They're going to give it to you. Now, does he deserve more money? I don't know. They have the figures. They know who they give who what to, right? That's why you have some of these guys that make a big amount of money. Are they getting the right amount of money that they would want? Absolutely not, you know. But if they're not asking, they're not getting. So he's asking, hey, I think great for him. Let's see what happens, you know?
And then you have on the sidelines, you have Henry Cejudo. A lot of people thought Henry Cejudo was going to fight Aljamain Sterling, but now maybe he's in a situation where he's fighting the winner. I've heard Peter Yan saying, I want to fight Henry, but would Henry go back and fight someone like Peter and go right into a contender fight and not a title fight? Is that what he wants? What does Coach Javier think makes this make sense right now in this bantamweight division?
I think because Henry is definitely a GOAT in that division, I think because, you know, Henry, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but he's changed his image, and I really appreciate it because I take him so much more serious now. He's more serious, and personally speaking, I think Henry doesn't fight anything but the title. He's earned that. He's earned that respect. Being a two-time champion in incredible fashion. You guys got to remember, we must have forgot what he did and how he did it. Okay, I think he should fight for the title, and I definitely am not one to think, oh, no, fight. No, come on. The guy's an Olympic gold medalist, two-time UFC champion, two-weight division champion, and he's willing to go up another weight. He's causing the right type of stir. The cringe guy, Henry, if you're listening to this, no cringe stuff. Now I like what you're doing, and I love the way you're coaching guys because you're an incredible strategist, and he's got an incredible mind for the game. And that being the case, do you know darn well that he's ready for the challenge? If he says he wants to fight Volkanovski, I say he is. Let him fight. He obviously knows what he can do. You know, he knows. He knows how to do the game plan properly. I've seen already, you know. He knows. So I say he doesn't fight for anybody but the title. But who am I? The UFC, Dana decides what he does and what he doesn't do with him and the other guy, Hunter guy, right?
Yeah.
They decide.
For sure. But I think the storyline's there, too, because the last person to beat TJ Dillashaw was Henry Cejudo, and they did it at 125. So if TJ Dillashaw becomes the champion, he beats Aljamain Sterling, I damn well know that he's going to want his first fight title defense as a get-back against a Henry Cejudo. And then Henry Cejudo and Aljamain Sterling, they're stirring the pot. Your guy, DC, had an excellent sit-down with them. And I'm not sure if you saw it on DC's YouTube channel. He brought Aljamain to Henry's house, and they sat down right next to each other with DC moderating face-to-face. And they were very, you know, cordial with each other, but they're both cocky, confident individuals, rightfully so, both champions, and that fight's going to be there as well. I agree with you, though. I think if you're Henry, you only want to fight for gold, and then you probably got to defend that gold, and then you got the opportunity to go up to fight for 145 if he wants it.
If I'm Henry, that's what I would do. But look, Hunter and Dana are going to tell you who they're going to offer you.
Yeah.
But you should ask. You should ask. If you don't ask, you don't know. Okay, let me give you for instance. We talked about this already. Supposedly, Tony was talking about, let's Habib and I do the Ultimate Fighter. And I read the thing where Dana said he's not opposed to it. If they would have never asked, they would have never got to Dana's thinking here, going, you know what? Makes sense. Look, what makes sense is dollars, good for the brand, which those two guys being the Ultimate Fighter coaches is good for the brand. Well, Henry Cejudo is also good for the brand, the USC brand, because of what he brings to the table. As long as he leaves the cringe out, Henry, leave the cringe out. You know, as long as he leaves that guy out, Henry's fantastic.
Dave, next time you record your show with Henry, you got to tell him what Javier said. I think
it's a couple hours from now. I'll let him know. This is great.
Tell him, leave the cringe out.
Wait, doesn't he go by Humble Henry now?
Yeah, he goes back and forth.
Forget Humble Henry. Henry the Giant Killer. I mean, think about it. He's a giant killer. He looks out there, you look at him, and all of a sudden he's killing people.
Listen, he changes his mind like I change my shirts in this 100-plus heat in the summertime. Like, he doesn't know if he's Humble Henry one day, if he's Triple C, if he's the king of cringe. He can't make up his mind. He just likes to entertain.
Just take the cringe out. Just take him out. Fans, vote in on this. Cringe out. Cringe out, seriously. Because comment, I'm not joking. He's a serious fighter. The cringe is a... What is the cringe? That's one of those guys that's trying to get YouTube votes and this and that. Henry's a serious champion. Be a serious champion. Hey, I prefer him to say, hey, let's go, you know, I'm going to fight Ngannou. Talk to me about that. Don't talk to me you're going to fight Amanda Nunes, you know. Don't talk to me about that. Or I'm going to fight Hasbulla. You're great, great, great fighter. Don't those guys don't deserve to be spoken by you. He's a great fighter. He's a great champion. Talk about the unforeseeable victories, which is an Ngannou type. And people go, oh, yeah, right, Ngannou. But at least you're being respected.
Yeah.
You know, you fight Hasbulla. Who's Hasbulla? Come on.
Yeah. I think Rozic. Abdul that those are the guys that he's got to be fighting Hasbulla. Let those two duke it out.
Well, you know, it's funny you talk about those guys, right? They met in Dubai or Abu Dhabi. They met in Abu Dhabi, and I didn't know what was going on. I got interviewed. They go, Coach, you know, so what do you think of the Rozak and Hasbulla? And I said, well, that's just an act. And they go, they're not going to really fight each other. That's just a joke. And the reporter's like, huh, why you say so? And I said, well, it doesn't look good for these two kids to fight. And I think they're just playing it up for the fans, right? And so then later on, about the next day, I'm talking to Rizvan, which was kind of handling him a little bit at that time. And I said, yeah, can you believe the reporter asked me? He goes, Coach, they hate each other. I go, what? They hate each other? He goes, yeah, they really want to fight. I go, oh, crap. No wonder he was looking at me. I thought it was a joke. It's not a joke.
It's not. So I got to meet Abdu Rozic in March in London by chance.
He's a great singer.
And he truly does hate him because he closes his fists and he could box. He actually has some skill.
No, he has skills. And the thing is, but I don't want to see those guys fight. Let you know what? It'd be cool to let them go at each other, keep holding them back, but don't let them fight.
Yeah.
That's what my opinion. Yeah. Well, it's not that hard to hold them back, is it?
I mean, it's they're cute kids. They're adults, teenagers. I don't even know what they're 19 or something
you
like
know,
that.
You know, the funny thing about Hasbulla, I get people that I haven't seen for a long time, and they go, sorry, Coach, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but you're Hasbulla's coach? I go, no, I'm not his coach. Oh, but you're his friend, right? I go, no, I'm not his friend. I know him a little bit, but I'm not his friend. And they're going, oh. I'm like, what do you mean, oh? They go, well, we want to meet him. And I'm like, great, I'm sure. You know, that people love Hasbulla. They love him. The bad thing about Hasbulla is there's a lot of people out there that are stealing his profile on Instagram. There's a lot of Instagram, and Hasbulla has so many people on Instagram stealing his name, and so you don't know who the real Hasbulla right. is. So with Instagram, it's so difficult to get fake guys out of there. It's not an easy process. If someone builds an Instagram account, you just can't say, hey, I'm the real Hasbulla, take him out. They don't just do that. There's a lot of wow. red tape you have to go through.
Yes, there is.
Yeah. I'll tell you guys what happened to me is I got tricked with my Instagram. I had this guy named Flex Wheeler, you know, who's a famous bodybuilder, right, guy. Yeah. And he sends me a thing on Instagram asking me, hey, bro, you want to make all this money? Just send me this, send me that. And I'm like going, what? So I ignore him. Okay, and about 2 weeks later, Flex Wheeler again sends me a thing. La, 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 you want to make all this money? It's so easy, this and that. I made $30,000 or whatever. I'm making that up. But he's talking about all this money. I go, I was feeling stupid. So I said, yeah, okay. You know, what do I need to do? I don't deserve this. Why do I deserve this? Why are you picking me? He says, oh, no, because, you know, I like you, and I just want to share my good fortune. And I said, okay. So I started giving him my info.
Javier.
Yeah,
no.
I know. But listen, it gets interesting. So I go, I'm feeling bad. He goes, yeah, did you got something on your phone? Can you give me that fork, whatever number? And I give him the first number, and then I'm starting to go, wait a minute, what am I doing here? And then he goes, okay, great. Can you give me one more? He goes, and I got the next one. And I said, wait a minute. I go, is this the real Flex Wheeler? He goes, yeah. And I go, well, okay, call me on my WhatsApp number if this is the real Flex Wheeler, right? He goes, okay, bro. So next thing you know, I get a call from Flex Wheeler on my WhatsApp. And I'm thinking, okay, so I'm talking to him. And Flex Wheeler is not Chinese or Oriental.
No. Okay?
So he's talking to me. I go, this ain't Flex Wheeler. He hangs up on me.
What?
I'm like, what the hell? So I contact Flex Wheeler because he's through one of the students in my gym who's friends with his mom. So what happened is Flex Wheeler got his Instagram hacked. Somebody hacked his account, pretending to be him, sending information to all these people to get their information back. And then that's how they hook you. That's how he got me, because he's liking my posts. He's doing this. He's doing that. He's posting Flex Wheeler stuff, and it's not Flex.
Wow.
Yeah, I called up Flex Wheeler. I go, Flex, you know, and he goes, I was on your Instagram. He goes, yeah, it's not mine. I go, yeah, I was kind of thinking, you need to call this number. I have the FBI working on this. I have this, that, this, and that. Well, anyways, long story short, it took Flex Wheeler about a good month to get his Instagram page deleted. A month. So for those guys that are looking out there, there is people out there on Instagram that do that to you. And that was amazing. I was like, oh, I'm so happy nothing happened to me. But I almost one more, and I would have been done.
Oh my God.
And also for those listening out there, don't think you could try to get stuff out of Javier.
Yeah, you're not. Don't. You guys ain't getting nothing from
he
me.
He learned his lesson.
Yeah. Flex showed me.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
I can only imagine.
Dude, it's a very good plan.
Yeah.
Very good plan. But yeah, no.
And unfortunately, it's not just Instagram. It's all social
media. All social media. Yeah. Almost everything.
And everything.
Yeah.
These hackers.
They're scams. So good.
I know. It's scary.
Yeah.
And social media just gives them another access point.
Big time. You know, I never even thought like your emails, right? I never thought, because people are saying, don't share your email, don't this. And I'm like, what's the big deal? What can do with the email? Then they started telling me what they can do with the email. I went, oh boy, yeah, they can do a lot.
What?
Email, they can change your passwords. They can look at all your email, scan it. They can see codes. They can see this.
Wait, they could see your emails from
just
knowing
emails, right? They get your emails. Hackers get your email. They log in as you. And they get your email, and next thing you know, you can't get into your email because they changed the code. So you're trying to get, you know, your email, but they're already looking, scanning all your thing, looking for what they can get out of you for other things you might have sent that are important. You know, wow. So emails, you know, they need to protect them. I didn't really think about that because we send emails with private information.
Yeah.
I did. Not to change the subject from email and scammers and stuff, before you got out of here, I did want to ask you about the 145-pound weight division. We'll talk about Holloway, Volkanovski 3, but someone I've had my eye on too, who just beat Dan Ige, very impressive, Movzar Evalov. Have you had a chance to watch him fight?
Yes. A super, super impressive. I'm expecting him to cause waves, if not win the title.
I think he's a future champion in that division.
Possible.
He called out Arnold Allen, right?
After that fight, which is a good call out.
It's a good call out. Yeah.
Volkanovski Holloway 3, though. I mean, that's coming up in a couple weeks.
Yeah, you know, in my eyes, I'm thinking they're 1-1. You know, because I thought Holloway got the last one, but the first one definitely, Volkanovski, and I can see where Volkanovski won both, but. If I was a judge, you know, I might have been towards Holloway. But regardless, that's a great fight. It's a great fight.
And then the last question for me, in that main event for International Fight Week, we have Izzy versus Jared Cannonier. How do you see that one playing out?
I don't know. Izzy's my guy. I love Izzy. He's unbelievable. I like watching him fight. He's a showman, you know. Obviously, you know, he's shown, you know, that his jiu-jitsu is needs more work, but overall that guy's a great fighter. You know, I love watching him fight. So, I can't go against him. Cannonier, can he take him out? Yeah, but it's going to not be one of those easy I'll strike him. It's going to be one of those I landed a shot. Like that Alex Pereira guy. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I pronounced his name right.
Pereira, he's fighting Sean Strickland.
Yeah, he's got the kind of power and he's got the experience that, you know, he's obviously beaten Izzy before. So he's the type of guy that can do something like that. But on a technical, you know, he is such a great stand-up fighter and overall MMA smart fighter now, you know. And he's only going to get better.
Where does he stack up right now to you against, like, an Anderson Silva?
To me, he's right there with him. And look what he's done. Look who he's beat. You know, I mean, he challenged himself. He went to 205. You know why? Because the challenges at 185 weren't good enough for him. So he goes up to, you know, 205 and maybe, you know, a little too much for his frame right now. And then he comes back to, you know, the 185. And his biggest challenge was the last one with Robert Whittaker, in my opinion. Robert Whittaker, he found the key and the success. Now can Whittaker improve on it and come back for a third fight and possibly dethrone him? I don't know, but I'll tell you what, I enjoyed that fight.
Well, Anderson has the consecutive title defenses, and Izzy's got to catch up, but what does Izzy need to do, in your eyes, to surpass him as the greatest middleweight of all time?
Just that, more defenses, clean out the division like he is. I'm not going to be shocked if, you know, people 4 or 5 fights from now are talking about Izzy as the greatest middleweight of all time. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Well, we always appreciate your time and appreciate you coming on our show.
Are you going to kick him off before I ask him about Khamzat Chimaev? Has your perception of him changed since the Gilbert Burns fight?
No. My perception of him has not changed. But I think people's perception of Gilbert Burns has changed, and people should be giving Gilbert props for how great he actually is.
Yeah.
You know, and remember, Gilbert's two big failures, if you want to call them failures, has been the champ and Khamzat. You know, you are a warrior like that. You go to war like that, and he comes out victorious like he did. No. He's only going to get better.
Future champ?
I say so. You know, we'll see what happens, you know, because, you know, the present champ has got something to say about that, but he keeps getting that kind of experience. You know, I don't know, man.
Present champ against Leon Edwards, rematch from 2015?
Yeah.
How do you see that playing out? Do you think it's Ann still, or do you think Leon Edwards?
Well, you know, it's a tough one for me to really comment on because I like both of them. Leon trained with me, came 1 month with us when he was fighting him, and Leon didn't have any concept of wrestling back then in England. And he came to our gym 2 times for 2 fights. The second one was the champ, and where he lost, Leon lost. But he learned from that, and now Leon's got a great training camp where he's got everything he's needed. So I think we're going to see a very interesting fight. So because I like them both, I don't really want to pick. You know, I'm just going to enjoy the fight.
It's always great to have you on. We always appreciate your time.
Thanks.
Yeah,
I know you have to go train Umar soon, right?
No, we don't train till later. We're good.
Okay.
They keep changing the times on me. So we're good.
Oh, yeah. I remember you talking about that before.
Yeah, remember I told you? They always change. So you're telling me, let me find out because I don't know. They change the times on me all the time. First, Habib says, Coach, we're training at 10. I said, okay, great. So I tell my son, I tell Super Dave, training at 10. All of a sudden, I get the call from Habib at 11 or so. Coach, we're training at 6 now. I'm like, okay, we're training at 6. No problem. So they change all the time. Tomorrow will be a different story. What time, I don't know.
Well, appreciate you coming on again, and we'll talk to you soon. You in town for a couple of weeks, I imagine? Or
I'm in town until the 26th. I go back on the 26th, and I'll see what happens from there. And then I think I'm commentating on the millions. Doing the millions where I'm commentating in the UFC, where people can watch the UFC with me on millions.
Which one?
Fight card?
There's 2 options. I think it may be this one, July 2nd.
Oh, UFC 276.
I think so.
276.
Yeah.
The last fight thing I want to talk about too. The main event for this fight.
Armand Sarukian and Gamrot.
That's a great fight. That's a really good fight. I think Armand Sarukian's first fight in the UFC was against Islam, and he took it short notice.
Yes.
And you could argue that was Islam's toughest fight.
You could argue, and there's no argument there. That was his toughest fight.
What do you think of Armand, one of these two guys, his future title contender, with Islam holding the strap?
I look at I've always visioned Armand as him and Islam you know, whoever gets the title first, whether it be Islam or Armand, because you just don't know. Islam doesn't have a title shot right now at the present time that I know of. So I don't know when that's going to happen. So we've seen crazy things, right? So we don't know. We know Armand's top dog. So I do vision and I do see those two guys fighting each other, for, you know, one being the champion, one defending the title. You know, I do see that. It's going to be very interesting. Of course, I just don't think anybody can beat Islam outside of somebody catching him. You know, anybody can lose that way, but I don't see nobody beating him. He's just too well-rounded.
Just a fight to keep on the lookout for the future, but he's got to take care of business against Gamrot, who is a great challenge for him.
Yeah.
I mean, both those two guys, I would have liked to see them fight each other when they're higher in the ranks, but it's not.
I'm expecting Armand's going to take that one. I don't be shocked if it's one-sided. That's all I'm saying. Don't be shocked. I think he's that good.
Like it. Well, all right. I got everything.
You got everything?
I can think of. Episode 105 of the Schmo Zone. Coach Javier, thanks for joining us. We're okay. Out.
We are out.
We are out. We're out.
'Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.